Turn to Mark chapter 4, if you will, this morning. And if someone beside of you doesn't have a Bible, be sure to share yours with them, if you will. I want to look at just a few things from this particular passage. I know it's preached on a lot, and over the past several days, God's dealt with my heart about some of the things that I feel like the Lord would have us to see in this particular event in the life of the disciples and Jesus and those that were following as well. I'm going to preach on the subject today, don't look at the storm. And a lot of people in life, they love to focus on storms. If you don't believe they love to focus on storms, just ask them how they're doing. And you know, every time that you ask that question, you have to be prepared for the answer. There's some of you, I'd never ask you how you're doing. I hope you're not offended by that, but you need to take assessment in your life because, you know, you're like the old lady at the back door when the preacher said one day, "How you doing?" She said, "Even when I'm doing good, I'm doing bad because I know I'm going to do worse later." And there's some folks that look at it that way. That's the way they just look at life. And they focus on the storms. But here is an account of how Jesus has given to us knowledge of what we should do when we face a storm or if we are in a storm. I'll guarantee you that any service that I ever preach in, there's people, regardless of age, how young they are, how old they are, they go through storms. There's storms in life, and what may not be a storm to you may be a storm to them. But when God directs us in certain areas, we need to learn from the Word of God because that gives us the equipment that we need to be able to face anything in life and say we can meet it with the Lord and God will help us get through this. Let's look beginning with verse 35 of Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, watch this phrase now, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, that's an important phrase there. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Look at chapter 5 and verse 1, the first part of that. And they came over unto the other side. Let's just pause here for a few moments and think as we reflect about this. I know I have preached sermons and I've heard sermons preached from this that have focused on different things. Some sermons that I've preached and others have preached focus on the ship and what they were doing in the ship. I have preached sermons and others as well on the sailors. They focus on the sailors and their response to what's happening. I have preached sermons about the sleeping, the fact that Christ, he got tired and he's in the hinder part of the ship sleeping on a pillow. Somebody asked me one time, why was Jesus sleeping on a pillow? And my answer is simple. He had one. It's just that easy. If I have one, I'm going to use it too. He had it. And he used what he had. He always uses what he had. And he'll take what we have as well and use that. But most sermons focus on the storm itself. But there's some strange things that we need to look at in this. Jesus never intended the disciples, nor us as we read this, to ever focus on the storm. The storm is not the main principal point of this lesson that Christ is teaching them through the encounter that they went through. Even though there was a storm, the storm is of no significance when it comes to Jesus. He really wanted them to look. We never hardly look at the main thing that Christ wanted them to look at and that we need to look at. First of all, I think we see the other things that he wants us to look at. And first of all, he really intended them to look at the other side. not at the storm, but at the other side. He knew that if they would even know there was a storm, that they would focus on that instead of realizing what was about to take place and that they were going over to the other side. That's why if you read verse 35, Jesus never mentions anything about a storm. He says, "Let us pass over unto the other side." Now there's three simple points in this other side. First of all, we see an invitation given by Christ. He says, "Let us." He said, "I'm going to the other side. And if you want to go, you can go." Now, I don't know your spiritual condition today. And I don't know what others have told you about Jesus and told you about heaven. I don't know if people have told you you're worthless and that you can never make it to heaven, that you can never be a Christian and you can never be saved. But I've come with good news. The Bible says, "Whosoever will, let him come." You just need to go where Jesus is going. Make your mind up that when Jesus left this world, he's now ascended into heaven, and at the end of this life we can go to heaven also. It is a reasonable invitation. That's why Isaiah said in chapter 1, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." But it is an optional invitation. Some people say you don't have a choice. You're going whether you want to go or not, but that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, this reference, "let us," means I'm getting in this ship and I'm going to the other side. But you have a choice to make. You can either go with me or you can stay where you're at. But I'm going to the other side. The choice is yours today. If you want to go to heaven, hallelujah, you can go. There's not enough devils in hell to stop you. There's not enough sin in your past to stop you. If you want to go, you can go. And the invitation is to you today to come to Christ. Whosoever will, let him come. And he also said, he tells them, if you're going to the other side, there's the direction that we go. We're going to pass over. We're not going to stay in it. We're not going to live in it. It's not going to last forever. We're going to pass over. You've got to go the way Jesus is going. You can't go some other way. You can't make it some other way. If you're going to the other side, you've got to go Jesus' way. Go the right direction. But then also, he says there is a destination, the other side. See, everything's different on the other side. If we get in the middle of the storm, all we'll see is where we're at right now. And we'll forget it's not going to be like that forever, because on the other side, it's so different. On the other side, there are no storms to deal with. Almost everything in life, you'll find out there's at least two sides to it. You can look at your life and say, well, I can either go to heaven or there's the other side of it. You can go to hell. The choice is yours, but you make that choice. There is the person that I used to be. But then there's the other side of it. There's the person that I am since Jesus came in my life. Do some of you want to be a different person today? Would you like to live a different life and walk a different way, talk a different way, have love that you never had before? If you want to, you can. The other side. So we ought to keep our eyes on the other side. Don't look too much at here, and don't look too much at what you're going through now. Remember, there is a final destination. The songwriter said, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up yonder, somewhere beyond the blue. I can't see it now, but on the other side of the storm, that's where we're headed to. This isn't all there is to it." The other side. And then also, he said, not only keep your eyes focused on the other side, but then he talks about the other ships. There were also with him, in verse 36, other little ships. Now, this is an important thing to notice when you look at it. First of all, by signifying they were little ships with them, they were making an important statement. The statement is this. That means that that ship was frail. It wasn't as good as the ship that the disciples were on. But they were in the storm too. Frail people sometimes feel like I can't make it through the storm. But you can. That means that they didn't have inferior materials. It must have been a smaller boat. Well, if their ship was about to go under, how much more was a little ship about to go under? So you need to remember something, every one of us. You're not in this thing alone. were in it together. They were in the storm together. See, the Church of the Living God's not made up of Ruvieville Community Church. It's made up of born-again believers all around the world that have confessed their sins to Jesus Christ, and their life has been changed because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And thank God we're not in this thing alone, but we're in it together. It's a dangerous thing when you feel like you're the only one on the way to heaven, and that you're the only one that goes through certain things, and you're the only one that faces certain storms. No, you're in it. You're in it with others. So no matter how frail you feel, the Lord says, I'll get you through this storm. They were not only frail, but it signifies something else. They were following. I don't know why, as many times as I've read this recently, God spoke to my heart about this. It's important to note. There's two things you see in this account that you don't see other places. First of all, in verse 35, he tells us it's the same day when the even was come, or evening time had come. Mark doesn't use timelines much in his writing. The Gospel of Mark, you don't see a timeline much. What Mark is saying is this has been a long day. The proof is in the fact that they took Jesus in the ship even as he was. The humanity of Christ, don't ever think that Christ didn't feel things like we feel. He got tired. The Bible says he rested. He felt things like we feel things. In fact, the Bible says he's a high priest that's touched by our infirmities, because he was tempted in all ways like we're tempted, yet without sin. Jesus feels the things that we feel. He endured the pain of humanity that we endure. He got tired. So many things have been going on that way, and he was tired, but they took him in the ship as he was. When they took him in the ship as he was, they did something else then in verse 35. They sent away the multitude. They said, we're getting in this ship and we're going to the other side. They heard Jesus give the command. But now, you all need to go back home. There was a group there that, while the multitude, it doesn't say there was a multitude, but there was a group there that said, hey, where am I going to go? I've met the one that's changed my life, the one that has all power to do all things. So when they saw where he was going, they were following the direction that he was going. They weren't sailors. They're now in this storm. They have possibly no sailing experience. They've not gone through any expertise whatsoever. It's like some of you today. You feel like, I don't know everything about the Bible. I have no experience in any of this. This is all new to me. I don't know what to do. But yet, you're still here. You're following. And that's what you need to do. You need to follow the Lord. He's directing you, and Jesus is going one way, and you need to say, wherever he's going, I'm going to follow, because Jesus is going to the other side. And that's where we want to go, to the other side. So they were following. And the final thing that we see when we look at this, they were favored. Look, if you will, with me at the end of verse 36. And there were also with who? With him, other little ships. And there were also with him, other little ships. Thank God, I'm glad it doesn't say with them. The other phrases say we, but suddenly they break it out and they say they were with him. They were following the Lord. Now, this is important that you catch this. Jesus is on the ship with the disciples. They're in other little ships. So physically, he's not there, but they're still with him. They're just as much with him as the other disciples that are in the ship physically with him. Why is that important? Last week, we celebrated Easter, Resurrection Sunday. But you know what? Physically, Jesus is not on this earth right now. He ascended back to the Father that's in heaven. He is now on the other side, but he's still with us. Even though he is there, he is still here. He hasn't left his ability to be omnipresent with us in all things, to take care of us through all things. So what he's saying is, you don't have to physically touch Jesus. You don't have to physically handle Jesus. You don't have to physically whisper in his ear, literally. But what he's saying, if you cry out, he still hears you. And the touch of His Spirit is just as strong as the touch of His power and might. And He said, I'm going to give you the same protection in this storm that I'm giving the ones that's right in the ship with me. You know what that means? Everything the disciples had from Jesus when He was here, we still have today. He is still favoring us, saying, just because I have ascended back to the Father doesn't mean that I've forgotten you. They were favored. Then also, look if you will, He's saying, I want you to see not the storm, but the other side. I want you to see other ships. But then you have to also see the other spirit. You'll find that in verse 40. Two words I call on you to underline. First of all, fearful. And second of all, faith. In your Bible, you'll find out that that becomes the spirit of control in our life when we face almost everything. We will either meet it with a spirit of faith or a spirit of fear. Now, you cannot have both at the same time. A lot of people think you can, but you can't have. You say, well, preacher, is that in the Bible? Of course it's in the Bible. He hath not given us a spirit of fear. It's not what He's given us. 2 Timothy 1:7 teaches us that. Well, what about the spirit of faith? The Bible says we have the spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, you can read it when you go home. We have the spirit of faith. And we don't have the spirit of fear. See, a lot of Christians are like the little boy one night when his mom said to him, son, go out on the back porch and get the broom. I need it. And the little boy, they had a little enclosed porch there. And the little boy opened the door and he looked outside. And he heard all kinds of sounds that he'd never heard before. When he started to step out, it was dark. The porch light had burned out. He couldn't see anything. And he just closed the door and came back inside. And she said, son, where's the broom? He said, I need the broom. And he said, mom, I didn't get it. I'm afraid. And she said, well, son, you need to know there's no reason to be afraid. Said, you know Jesus? Yes, mom, I know Jesus. Said, well, Jesus is right there. You don't have to be afraid of the dark or be afraid of anything else. Jesus is right there. He said, really, mom? She said, of course I wouldn't lie to you. Jesus is there. So the little boy went back over, swung the door open, bravely took a step out into the dark and said, Jesus, mom says you're there, and if you don't care, hand me the broom. That's the way that we are in life sometimes. We think that we can hold on to fear and faith at the same time. But let me tell you, it's okay to have the wind knocked out of you every now and then. But faith should always prevail. In the end, we should say, we have faith in a God that cannot fail us and will not fail us. Faith in a God that lives forevermore. Faith in His Word. Faith in His promises. Faith in every account that He's given to us in Scripture. We have faith in the One that has not and will not fail us. You can't have both. A great preacher of yesteryear, he had never sent out any kind of appeals for money. Had an orphanage with hundreds of children in it. And it was during a time when there was no government assistance. And he depended on God for everything that he had. Lived entirely by faith. One day, the supplies were getting low, and the cook came and told him, preacher, we're almost out of food. He said, let me pray. He went to prayer. In a few moments, he came back out. He said, I'm going back in, and I'm going to pray some more. He said, but in the meantime, set the table. Set the table. Why? Because he knew God had given him a promise that all of his needs would be met according to his riches and glory. God gave him a promise that he'd never forsake him. God gave him a promise he would supply what he needed. And he knew those children needed food. So he went back to prayer. And in a little while, somebody was knocking at the door saying, They just pulled in with a wagon load of food. More food than we need today and tomorrow and down through this week. All the food that we need. I've got news for you. There's plenty in God's storehouse in glory. Everything that you need, He has today, and He will provide for you. This was never about the storm. It was always about them. You heard me right. It was about them. He said, you need to know how to survive during the storm. You need to know what to keep your eyes on during the storm. Now, you can say that we don't do that, but I'm going to tell you. I'm saying it from an honest heart. We spend more time telling one another our problems than we do praying about our problems. Oftentimes, we'll have minutes of prayer requests and seconds of prayer. Do you know why? Because I don't understand it, but I'm confident some people love living in the storm. But I'm not going to live in the storm. I'm going to the other side. You have to make your mind up. Am I going to let faith hold me at a place where God has given me the promise in His Word that there's something better beyond? Or am I going to lock myself into the fear that keeps me in this present moment that says I can't move forward and I'm going to stay in that storm forever? You know, sometimes when God brings us through things, we're so bad to want to dwell upon what we were that we forget to tell people the other side. Yes, you were sick, but you're healed today. But you still talk about it like you're sick. Because you can't get over the sickness to enjoy the healing. I know what I was. But I'm forgiven of that. You say, I don't feel forgiven. By faith, I'm forgiven. It's gone. It's gone forever. So you can dwell in that, or you can enjoy the present fact that your sins are gone and your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That choice is yours.